Hello and welcome to another episode of the Knock On Podcast, brought to you by Zero Tackle. And Dan, we are back. Another week of rugby league. It never fails to disappoint. Look, you've got the hard-hitting subjects. Let's go. Hit me with them.
Look, before we start, there was something fairly serious that that happened yesterday by the time this drops, the Braden Trindle saga. When we know more, we'll talk about it.
But yeah, we ain't touching it.
It's just, it's not for us. But look, Dale Finucane. It's called Stumps. Unfortunately, his career's come to an end in a way that no one wanted to see. Repeated medical episodes, mainly concussions, have seen him retire. What are your thoughts on Dale the player? What's he meant to the Sharks?
Oh, I mean, Dale the player is phenomenal. He is, like, I'm trying to think of another player, and it's not coming to my mind at the moment, but every year that he played rugby league, he was in the finals. And that's not an accident.
No.
Every year that Dale Finucane played rugby league, he played at least one finals game. Put that into context, Luke Brooks has never played a finals game. I just wanted to get that shot out there.
Completely fair.
But, yeah, it's like, he's a winner. You know, he's two premierships. He's played multiple State of Origins and one Origin series. Here's a shock to you, though, Dan, because it was a shock for me as well. He never, ever played for Australia.
Wow, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Not one cap for Australia. Played five Origins. He played for country four times. Has a career win record of just shy of 70%.
That's incredible in this day and age.
I know. And so, you know, played two grand finals at Canterbury. He lost, you know, a premiership against the Sharks, and then the following year he got his grand final, his premiership with the Melbourne Storm against North Queensland Cowboys, and then obviously they were the team that knocked off this Penrith juggernaut in a grand final as well. So, two-time premiership winner. I love Dale Finucane as the player, and when we signed him, I was so positive about it. I did think that the 4 years was one too many, but that's what we needed to pay to get him over the line. He hasn't retired at his own accord, but yeah, like you can just tell right, like, he, and this is the type of player that he is, like, his body's on the line. There's that meme going around of his head busted, the cauliflower ears, the blood dripping down his face, and at the time it's funny, but it's not. You know, this is a guy who's now being told that he can't play rugby league anymore because he's got headaches and he can't remember things, and he, you know, his speech is starting to go. So I'm going to miss him. He came to Cronulla for a purpose, and that was to get the culture back, and that was to help bring in and establish a culture that Craig Fitzgibbon was looking to build and has built at the club now. And I'm really, really glad in the release that Cronulla said that he won't be lost to the club. He'll still be there. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're not going to lose Dale Finucane to the game, and we're not going to lose him to the club of Cronulla as well. Look, he played his 250th game at Cronulla. It was a win, which is great news. It was against the Bulldogs, ironically, the team that he debuted against. I'm kind of somber, you know, like...
It sucks.
You and I have been on Fins Up, our own podcast, the Shark-related podcast, saying that, well, the way that the team's running at the moment and the way the forwards are playing, there's no spot for Dale Finucane back in the team. He's the ultimate 18th man. And now you're sitting here saying, Dale Finucane's never going to play another game at the club. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. I was hoping that we would legitimately name him the 18th man, and he would be the player to come into the team if Cam McInnes actually makes the Origin team, or someone gets injured, or someone gets suspended. That's where you bring Dale Finucane in. But to now not have that safety net of a fallback of a player like Dale Finucane kind of hurts, man. Kind of hurts.
It does, and you're right, it's a somber day. I mean, you never want to see champion players retire, especially under these circumstances. Just speaking purely as a Cronulla fan, when we signed him, I was over the moon, you know. Other than Nicho Hynes signing, it was way up there. And it's don't let the last year and a half fool you. There's a lot of fans online that, he's broken, he was never going to see the 4 years. This is a bloke who would literally die for the football team that he's getting paid to represent, and he played like that his body broke down, as it does when you play 250 games in the middle forwards or out wide as he did. He's not the player that we signed, and that's why, you know, obvious reasons, he's had to medically retire because of repeated concussions. This is a bloke that came into Cronulla, and we had the worst middle defence in the competition. It's deplorable. And you broke down the stats. You had pages and pages of stats of how much we'd improved, all because of Dale Finucan coming in. When he left the field, it went to, you know, turn into wet tissue paper again. As soon as he came back, it shored up. Finucan was an amazing signing, and he's helped initiate a club culture change. It sounds funny saying that with Trindle doing what he did. But overall, the Sharks now are in far better position than they were before he arrived. And there's no coincidence that Craig Fitzgibbon targeted him big time. Paid him what he wanted. Very club friendly next year, which shows you the kind of guy he is. He didn't insist on 4 years at full freight. He's give me three and we'll see how we go in the fourth. It just, he's the exact bloke we needed. Unfortunately, his body let him down and he couldn't contribute to where he was. But it wasn't always about that. It was about leading the line at training. It was about being the first man there, the last man to leave. It's about the young players, you know, the Jess Colquhouns, the Tom Hazeltons, even, you know, Williams, Hunt, Kafusi, saying, hey, Dale, you know, teach us how you get ready for games. How have you lasted 250 games, etc. So, really, really sad day. Really sorry to see him go. I'm glad to see him go out somewhat on his own terms and not get carted off and not be afforded the chance to front the media. I thought that was fantastic. And I got to say, to have all the Sharks there to stand and applaud him just shows you what he does mean to the club. He's only been there 2 years. It's not like he's a 200-game Shark. I'm absolutely shattered for him. I 100% want him to stay around the club. It sounds like that's going to happen, which is imperative as far as I'm concerned. If you need a bloke, if he's up to it, who can be the liaison between the media and the club, or who can take the young players, it's Dale Finucane every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dale, for everything you've done for rugby league. It's a shame to see you go, mate, but family and health comes first, and I'm happy to see him go out the way he did.
Never scored a try for Cronulla either.
Doesn't matter. Didn't need it.
Doesn't matter. What he brings to us is worth more than points on the field.
Exactly right. Now, from a player at the end of his career to one just starting his career, Ethan Sanders has been named to make his debut for Parramatta on the same day that he said he was off to Canberra next year. Bit of a coincidence. What do you think, though, Brad Arthur, because a lot of Parramatta fans are saying, why are we putting time into this kid now? Do you agree with that, or just name the best team?
I think Brad Arthur's fighting for his job because that performance against the Dolphins was absolutely disgusting, and they look rudderless and directionless, and this guy is number seven.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've made a serious mistake by not re-signing him and locking him down long-term, but also as well, you've got to have a look at the fact they've committed big money to Mitch Moses and Dylan Brown. It's probably not a pathway to there until one of them gets hurt or suspended. It's been the worst rumour or the worst kept secret in rugby league for a long time now that Ethan Sanders is going to go to Canberra. So much so that I thought he had obtained an early release, and I was sitting there thinking, well, he's going to debut against Cronulla this week. He's not. He's debuting for Parramatta. I think it's, you know, it would be, let me flip the question back to you. If Kay Aliro signs with the Roosters tomorrow, are you pulling him from the team, or are you trying to get as high up the ladder as you can?
Leave him in the team.
Yeah, you leave him in the team, right? Parramatta are at a spot where they don't know if this kid's any good, and he might have an absolute shocker and go, well, guess what, your Canberra's problem. He might absolutely light it up and go, oh,
rats.
Yeah, we've made a mistake here. But you're never going to know unless you play him. Just get, look, Parramatta have got to do something because that, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
like, well, I mean, it's great, but it's not good.
It's great for us, but for rugby league, it's no good. Although, maybe for rugby league, it's good too. For Parramatta fans, it's not good. They had no choice, to be totally honest. Based on Tonalongi, he just hasn't quite lived up to what was expected. Had a good debut from memory. And Dylan Brown cannot be number seven.
And Dayan Arce, I think, got category one up in Darwin. Now, there's also, like, I found a little bit of a shock because there's a report saying that Clint Gutherson will be in the halves very soon because his legs can't cope anymore. So I just naturally thought that Gutho was going to be in the six and Dylan Brown at the seven. Interesting times, what's going out there. But look, all the best to Ethan Sanders. And I'm actually quite thankful that you're not playing against Cronulla this weekend because the kid looks like he's got all the talent in the world.
does have all the talent. Good for Canberra to get an early look.
And that's the thing. Canberra for so long had been trying to get these star players, right? And were always, like, even as recently as Dave Fifita, they wined him and dined him and they had him down there and they thought they got him locked up and he went and signed a, you know, $1 million deal, re-signed at the Titans. They changed their recruitment strategy a few years ago to target the next big thing in England, and they did really well picking up Bateman. They did really well picking up George Williams. They got Morgan Smithies now, who looks every bit the player, and they also went after young players as well, like Chevy Stewart, and they've signed a few more youngsters. Now letting James Schneider, that's his name, isn't it? Yeah, it's James. No, what's his name? James Schiller. I just combined James Schiller and Brad Schneider into one player. James Schiller has gone to Newcastle. You can't sign them all and you can't keep them all. You probably wouldn't want to keep Schiller over Albert Hopewadi now that I'm thinking about it, but this is just nothing but positive for Canberra. Good signing.
Yeah, I think it's good. Congrats to Canberra. Congrats to young Sanders for debuting this weekend. Wish you all the best. It's just going to be tough for Parramatta fans if he has a blinder to think, well, he's off next year. But ultimately, yeah, the coach is looking to save his job. He's got to pick the best available team. Now, from someone who may lose his job to someone who will lose, well, we lost to rugby league, and that's Joey Manu. Now, we touched on it last week that he signed for Japanese rugby. There is talk that he might be back in rugby league as soon as next year. I hate this. I hate it, Terry.
I can't see it happening for two reasons. Joey Manu is going over to play rugby in 2025, and at the end of their season, I don't see him back at the Roosters. I see him signing for a Super Rugby team so he can get that All Black spot for the 2027 World Cup. I think this is just like the last hope that people have that Joey Manu will come back to rugby league, because James Tedesco's still there next year. He's not going to come back. And also as well, like, I know rugby in Australia may not be strong, but rugby in New Zealand is still pretty strong and they've got the money there. And the All Blacks are going to be all guns blazing to try and get the World Cup back. Mm-hmm. I think we've lost Joey Manu to rugby.
Now, playing devil's advocate, what if he does want to come back? Because I think if you play rugby next year, you're rugby locked for the year. You can't play and cash up and then come back to the Roosters on $100,000 and try and pinch you to premiership.
Well, the Roosters didn't know that the NRL said, or that it would be half of his current value, which would be $500,000. And the Roosters have said that they will put $500,000 aside on the basis that Joey Manu can sign for them before the cap deadline. Otherwise, they will use that to sign a player and promote players from within. So it's not as if he's going to come back for $100,000 and a bag of chips like Mark Gasnier did that year when he was in French rugby and came back to the Dragons. So he will be paid his prorated worth.
I'm not okay with that. Play rugby for a year, you don't get to come back, and the Roosters don't get to say, oh, we'll wait to see if Joey Manu is available. Same as the Titans can't say, oh, we got a spare $600,000 if you want to come in early. If you play rugby next year, you're playing rugby next year.
You know what though? You know what? If he didn't come back to the Roosters and he did go to the Titans or the Tigers or Newcastle or somewhere, you know, other than the Roosters, I'd probably be okay with it. But it sounds like the Roosters want to have their cake and eat it too. Yeah, you can go to Japanese rugby, then you can come back to us. And you know what? Go to Japanese rugby one more time and then come back to us, and then Teddy will retire and you can have the contract at the back there. Circumstantial, I know we're saying ifs. I think he's going to rugby.
I'm just going to double down. If he does this, it's a joke, because this is the easiest way to cheat the cap. Oh, you want to pay an extra million, do you? Go play Japanese rugby for 6 months and come back and we'll pay you what you've done. You can't double dip. Go play rugby. Stick with rugby. Good luck to you. Game's terrible. Yeah, Terry, I've got a few serious, few more humorous. Let's get into the serious stuff. Josh Schuster, gone from Manly. They're going to pay him out. There's talk of it being $1 million payout.
Oh, I read on Fox it was $200,000 a year for 3 years.
Now, Danny Wilder's come out and said it's closer to $1 million, what he heard. Now, I don't know. I don't know Schuster. I don't know Weedler. Whatever. Say it is $1 million. Is it worth him taking a year off next year and training the house down and coming back in the best possible shape, just put social media, just hammer it, be in all the charity drives, be in every, pop up everywhere you can, be in the back of Sunrise, given, hey, don't forget about me's. To see a player go down, someone with a bit of money is like, oh, we need a young back row, and Josh Schuster's there like...
I think there's two parts to this, right? At the moment, Josh Schuster's head's not right, and his body's not right, but he's a naturally talented, instinctive footballer.
Mm-hmm.
What I think would be beneficial for Josh is to take a deep breath, suck it up, and go and sign for a New South Wales Cup team that's independent. So maybe go and sign, or maybe like, there's only a couple of independent teams, but maybe like go and sign for Mounties, or sign for Newtown,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, sign a contract for Newtown that says you can train with us, but you're only called up at absolute necessity, right? Or go and sign a Q Cup. Go and play in Queensland. But yes, devote every second of the day to getting your body right. Run until you can't run, and then when you've caught your breath, you run some more. Lift weights until your arms can't lift them, and when they're not tired, you go and lift them. Squat everything you can, come back in tremendous shape. And I think if he aligns himself with a Q Cup team, for example, where they're not, you know, there's only three teams in Queensland, so he can go and pick someone like, I don't know, Burley, who may or may not have an allegiance, but he could go and be a Burley player and just take it so seriously. Someone will take a chance on Josh Schuster now that he's not worth $800,000. Right, someone will take that chance, and we were just talking about him, Canberra. Like that is a good signing for Canberra.
That payout though is such that he doesn't need to rush into a deal. Yeah. He can take the rest of the year off, not take a single hit on his body, and start training in the preseason. There'll be 10.
You lose that conditioning spots. Though. You lose that conditioning. You lose the touch.
I see. He can go to England. He could say he's got such a talent and such a highlight reel in such a short thing of time. That someone in England can say, look, we've only got 100,000. And he's got, cool, I got 200,000 this year from Manly. And go and take that. I don't see this as, I mean, obviously he's going to lose the huge money he was promised. And, you know, we've talked about that ad nauseum. It's a horrible deal. This is an opportunity for him.
Yeah.
He can sit back and say, you know what? Huge chip on the shoulder. Screw you. And just tear the house down. He get picked up. Tigers might pick him up for nothing. And put him out there and he turns into a superstar. I think Schuster is going to come out looking like roses from this in the long term.
Yeah, in the long term. And look, don't get me wrong. The only thing that Manly did was pay him that bad contract. It hasn't worked out. And it's great that the two parties came together. Manly came together and said, it may have been the wrong amount and the wrong deal for you. And Schuster said, yeah, you know what? This isn't the place for me to play my best rugby league. And they've come together. They've hammered out a deal. Both parties go both ways. You can't say anything negative about Manly in this because they handled the situation well. You can't say anything negative about Josh Schuster as well because he handled the situation well. I think you're right. I think Schuster, now he's in the shop window, right? And you know what? Clubs like Newcastle, for example, who may be on the fringe of the top eight and then come the trade deadline, they just need something and they might look at him and just go, you know what? We've got a whole heap of injuries in the forwards. We've got a little bit of money left. Let's just bring him in for 6 months and see what he's worth. You might get a premiership contender that can turn around and go, you know what? We need a guy to come in and train with us. We've got 29 contracted players. We need a guy to come in and train and be ready to be called up on. What's Josh Schuster doing? And at the same time as well, there are clubs over in England that will turn around and go, you know what? We need something because it's just, it ain't working here. We need some ball playing. We need some absolute magic. Let's go and see what he is. And then come back.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of come back, teams have been named for round 8, I believe. Mike Sivo, Damien Cook are both back, which begs the question, what's the point of dropping these players? Now, Damien Cook spent 1 week in New South Wales Cup. He's got, 200-something games to his name. Sivo's played 2 games where he scored a heap of tries and let a heap of tries in. What can you learn in 2 weeks and 1 week, respectively, that's going to change the club or the players, rather? Or do you think these coaches have just, to appease fans, said, hey, we tried something different. Now we're going back to the tried and tested.
I think it's... I think there's a little from column A, a little from column B, and a touch of column C, which to a player like Mike Acebo, and even now, like they're by different ends of their career, right? But to drop someone like Mike Acebo for performance related issues is sending a message to him to say, hey, look, you have been a winger of the year. You were arguably the rookie of the year in your debut year. You lighted up, you score loads of tries, but pretty terrible defensively, apparently. You're not untouchable. You're not undroppable, right? You're not like a Ronaldo Mulatalo, where if you have one or two bad weeks, we know that you can bounce back. You can be dropped. That is the message that is sent to Sivo. If you don't take rugby league seriously, or you're not going to put the effort in. But if that's the case, Parramatta need to drop their whole team. Just throw it all out the window. For Damien Cook, it doesn't do anything, because they gave the debut for Momisalis. He did the best that he could against the Sharks team that was far superior in the night, didn't get out of second gear. And I don't know if he's been named or not, but what does that message give the young kid compared to the old kid? Like, I don't know. Yeah, the Cook one was stupid.
It just screams scapegoat for me. Oh, you're not playing well enough, we'll drop you. Ah, we got smashed. Yeah, showed a little bit of fight, absolutely. Ah, we're going to bring you back. It just, I mean, I'm not going to try and get in the head of Jason Demetriou. I don't know what's going on in there, but I saw the teams today, and I wasn't shocked that either were returning. I can't believe they dropped Sivo Fili for the fight. I know he was playing terribly, but you can't tell me he's not. If I'm defending, I'm rather him than Sean Russell running at me, but we've had that argument. Said he was worse than anyone. As for Cook, though, it made no sense then. It makes no sense now. I spoke to some South fans earlier, good mates of mine, and they're like, cool. It achieved nothing.
Marmazoulis has been named on the bench, but so is Saliva Havili. So they've got a hooker turned lock, David Maoli and Jai Arrow on the bench. Like, they've achieved absolutely nothing.
I think it's one of these, hey, I'm trying my best, leave me alone sort of things, and I think both are... I think neither player should have been dropped, to be totally honest. But whatever.
This is Brad Arthur dropping Sivo and bringing him back to show that he still has an idea with no idea.
Speaking of no idea, mate, well, actually, the opposite. I saw a bit of an argument today on the X, on the formerly known as Twitter, about the former halfback of the competition. You know, Daly Cherry Evans got a few votes. Nico Hines, you know, is very high up in the Daly M's. I don't know if I 100% agree with that, despite loving the great man himself. Can I throw a name at you?
Isaiah Katoa.
Isaiah Katoa.
He is the form halfback of the competition, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he gets anywhere near the love. Last year, he was made a scapegoat. Very young, very raw, very talented young kid. You know, came from the Penrith system, and they just churn out good footballers. Unfortunately, Puru looks like he skipped the ability of the rest of them. But again, another argument for another day. Katoa, though, went up to Darwin with the team on his back. You know, Cody Nikorima is a pretty handy 5'8". I don't rate him as a halfback. I rate him as a 5'8". He's a good complementary piece. Katoa's, what, 20, 21? He's playing like he's got 100 games under his belt. He was man of the match by a mile the other night. That's not the first game I put man of the match honours on him either. I think if you're picking a form team in the competition, of course he won't play rep football this year. He's just too young. You'd be hard-pressed to go past young Katoa.
Yeah, he's just turned 20. That second half performance that he put in against Parramatta was just insane. Like, I've never seen a halfback. Well, I mean, like, you've seen halfbacks have that, but not a 20-year-old halfback, right?
Now, am I correct in suggesting that he could go back to flag this weekend?
You are correct in suggesting that he could play flag this year and next year.
That is insane. This kid... Now, Wayne Bennett picked him and Sean O'Sullivan to be his halves, and of course they put Milford there for who knows what reason. Katoa, they'll build the club around Katoa. And even Hammer, obviously. But Katoa is the piece. Now, I know they extended him recently and upgraded his contract, and I'll tell you what, I bet you Dolphins fans are glad they did, because there's about four or five teams right now that are screaming for a young halfback.
They've got him until 2028, and I think that is a great deal for him and a great deal for the Dolphins, being an expansion club, that they haven't just found this rookie, turned him into a great player and lost him. You know, and that shows great confidence in the club and great confidence in the player as well, that he believes in the club present and future.
What the Dolphins did, Terry, is they went and signed the backup to Nathan Cleary and the backup to the backup of Nathan Cleary.
Well, no,
one of them are going to work out.
He was the back. So they got Sean O'Sullivan, the backup to Nathan Cleary, and they got Isaiah Katoa, who was the backup to the backup of Jerome Luai. Because he was a 5'8", and he played 5'8" last year.
It's just brilliant tactics.
Yeah, great player. Great, and
it hasn't worked anywhere else. It hasn't worked for us in Peru. It hasn't worked for Cogger in Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, not many people can turn around and say that they knew who Isaiah Katoa was until that Jersey Flake Grand Final, where he literally put them on the back and kicked the field goal and won the game against Newcastle, right? And that's when you kind of went, oh man, what's the go with this kid? And then you see that he signed with the Dolphins, and it was one of the initial signings they had with Bostock as well on the wing. I think Bostock was the first external player that the club signed.
Yeah, one of them was definitely, and it was one of their development deals, and they upgraded him pretty quick when they saw what he could do.
Yeah,
it's a real success story.
Yeah, both of them are. Look, Katoa was very good. He is very good. I was chatting with someone at work about who the five best halfbacks are in the competition at the moment, and you know, there's probably only one that I would swap our halfback out for, and that would be Nathan Cleary, right?
Yep.
But this kid's pretty soon, if he keeps going on that trajectory, going to knock someone out and be in that top five conversation. But he's definitely the form halfback right now.
Not a bad shout at all. Now, this weekend, pretty special weekend of football. Anzac Day. Outside the finals, probably my favourite weekend of the year. I love that Anzac Day game. Now, I know there's three this year and there's usually two, but the Anzac Day game is the Roosters and the Dragons. It's a game that anywhere else in the season I couldn't give two-fifths of about. But this week, 4 p.m. on Thursday, it's the only thing in the world that matters. Anzac Day football, mate, is it as special as I'm making it out to be, or just around the rugby league?
I love this game on the Anzac calendar. I love this game because it's two foundation clubs. Now, fair enough, St. George have merged, blah, 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 but they still kept that St. George mantra outside of taking the mickey out of them, our St. George. Okay? It's the Roosters. It's a rivalry. These clubs dominated the early periods of rugby league. These teams were the ones that were affected by the war because the players had to stop playing rugby league and go to the war. So I love this game. I didn't really feel much affection for the Storm and the Warriors game because the game would kick off at 8 o'clock and by that time I just didn't care. Like, especially if it was a Tuesday night, you got to go to work the next day. Who, like, rugby league, free rugby league is free rugby league, but that would be the game that I'd put on the TV and fall asleep to. Adding a third game onto the day, I feel, just takes away the specialty of this Roosters the Roosters Dragons game. I know New Zealand want to have their game, and that's fair. And putting it at the 2 o'clock time slot is fair for New Zealand fans. And if we're going to give New Zealand, that's it. Do the two, the four. And like, what significance... I know this is going to sound like terrible. What significance does it matter to Melbourne if they get an Anzac game? Like, just let the Warriors have it. Let the Roosters and the Roosters and the Dragons, that game should be the headline act. That should be the... If you're going to have an 8 o'clock game, it's that. But it's the 4 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
So it's put the Warriors... Put the Warriors on at 2 o'clock. We can't fix everything, Dan. We fix a lot. We can't fix everything.
The NRL should have insisted on Melbourne going across. Now, the reason it's been changed is because New Zealand said, oh, it's our turn to host. And the NRL said, yeah, you're right. And then supposedly Melbourne said, well, we're not giving it up because it always sells out. It's a commercial success. It is a special day on the calendar down there. And it's become tradition in the, 5 or 6 years that it's happened or whatever. Might be much longer. Please excuse me if that's wrong. They should have just gone to New Zealand and played it for a year and then reverted back next year. I'm looking forward to it. Three games of rugby league on a day of remembrance is fantastic. Nothing since the Anzacs like Australia versus New Zealand. I know they used to play the tests around this, the Anzac weekend, etc. But there's only one game that really, really, really matters, and that's obviously the Dragons.
I think the game would have had more significance with Melbourne and New Zealand had it been alternated. 100%. But I don't give a crap about that Melbourne Warriors game, and I certainly don't give a crap about the Warriors Souths game now. And I don't even know who Melbourne are playing.
I think it might be Canberra, and that's a guess.
No, because Cronulla play Canberra.
There you go. See, I have no idea who it is. I'm looking forward to it because, as you said, rugby league is rugby league. But that game at 4 o'clock, outside of finals, and Origin, obviously, is the most can't-miss game of the year because the Warriors, both teams, rather, the Dragons and the Roosters, can come in diabolical, despicable form, and it's the game of the round every single time.
How many times have you seen the Roosters top of the competition and the Dragons like floundering in 10th and Matt Head kicks a goal from the sideline on that miracle comeback? Like, it's just, it's theatre because these two teams just get it. They just get it.
Exactly right. And it is a special week. I always like the pre-match start of the memorials. I think it's just, it's something that we can never lose. And I know some people are like, oh, it's overkill doing it every game. Just stand there and be quiet for 5 minutes and let me enjoy it, please. It's important to people. This is a great round of rugby league. I am so keen.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Knock-On, brought to you by Zero Tackle, your one-stop shop for everything rugby league. It's got news. It's got transfers. It's got breaking stories on there. It's got some of the best freelance writers in rugby league. And it also has Dan on there. Now, Dan, we love your 20 thoughts. We love your controversial takes. You keep telling us there's a big piece about Shane Flanagan coming out now. We cannot wait for it. What else have you got for us this week?
Well, the Flanagan thing dropped last week and has just absolutely taken off, which is good because a lot of the things I put a lot of effort and care into get like a couple hundred views or a couple thousand views. And then you write something trashy like, geez, the Tigers are terrible, and you just go caspacho. So really excited about that. That's gone really well. Thanks to everyone who's read that. I am going to bring back Origin Watch this week. Now, my first piece was Ponga versus Walsh, and we were going to discuss it at length here tonight to support that. And the rugby league guys just said, nah.
It's Walsh.
Obviously Ponga's out. It was going to be Walsh anyways, but it was a fun discussion. Unfortunately, that won't happen. So instead, I'm going to shift the focus to the Blues number one, and I'm going to make a controversial statement. It'll drop probably Thursday, maybe Friday, and that is James Tedesco cannot run out for the New South Wales Blues this year. I don't think it's that controversial.
I don't think it's controversial.
The other night, and juice did I get some hatred.
As a Queenslander, I hope James Tedesco does run out. Now, look, Dan, obviously I am one of the people who didn't support you and read that article. I will go and give you your hit now. I apologize. Thank you, though, for letting us know what's happening. We'll see you all next week.